Welcome to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb.
Today, Deb and I are talking with Jordan Gross, author of Getting Comfy, Your Morning Guide to Daily Happiness, as well as the founder of Cloud9 Living, a way of life that embraces living your life from a place of meaning and purpose. Jordan is a Northwestern and Kellogg School of Management graduate, as well as a leadership coach, a TEDx speaker, and author. What might surprise you is that Jordan has accomplished all of this before the age of 30. But aside from his many accomplishments, Jordan brings so much positive energy to the world. Deb and I are so happy to be talking with Jordan because so much of what he's doing is in alignment with our own mission, putting good out into the world and helping people to live their best lives. So Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb. Hi, Carol. Thank you so much for that very warm and kind introduction. And thank you so much for having me on. I can't wait to continue our conversation that we had a little bit off air and share some good vibes and good energy and positive wisdom with the listeners.
Absolutely. So for our listeners, I have been following Jordan's work and his post and content and things like that on LinkedIn for months now. I'm not even sure when I started. And it's funny because I checked this morning, we have 449 mutual connections. So that's how I know we're in alignment.
Yes, definitely. You're running the same circle.
Exactly.
Great people adding value. That's what it's all about. It's all about the connection and the relationships that we can make on there.
It truly is. Yeah. So before we dive into your book and talk about the Cloud9 Living, tell us a little bit about what life was like for you growing up. It sounds like you had an amazing family. Have an amazing
family. Yeah. I love that first question. And what I like to say about my childhood is that I was fortunate and I'm so grateful and I was so blessed to, have this unbelievable family, to have unbelievable friends. My friends' families were amazing. It was sort of like this tight-knit crew of 20, 30 people who just love to laugh and smile and support one another and have an amazing time. So growing up, I was an insider who always wanted to stand out. And what I mean by that was I had a lot of friends. I got good grades in school. I was always a top-notch athlete. But there was always this voice in the back of my head that said, okay, it's time to deviate from the norm. It's time to stand out. It's time to do something different and beat to your own drum. Be weird. But I was always afraid of that growing up. So I just kind of continued going through the motions without ever really considering the person that I ultimately wanted to become. I think that my choices and my decisions were based off of what other people expected me to be and what society kind of expected somebody like me to be like. So yeah, growing up, it was a phenomenal time and I wouldn't change a thing, but I was one of those people who it was kind of like, you don't need to know what you're doing with your life at this moment. And I took that phrase too literally. And I didn't even think that I needed to at least begin the process of figuring out what I needed to do, what I was supposed to do with my life. And that changed, obviously.
Oh my gosh. Well, I have to say, and I don't mean this in a patronizing way at all. I'm so impressed with the fact that you have this mindset so much earlier. You know, we're in our 50s, you know, and a lot of the changes for me didn't start until a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm always kind of envious of people that, you know, relatively young you're kind of figuring this out and realizing there's something that is out there for me, a path for me, something I was put on this earth to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you saying that. And I attribute that to, again, the people who I surround myself with. So it's having these kinds of great conversations with people who get it. It's having the family, the support team. It's having the mentors who are trying to relay this message to me from their life experiences, right? And it's also engaging with good content from people who you don't know. So I listen to a ton of podcasts. I read a ton of books. I watch a ton of TEDx videos. And the key theme for me was always somebody needed an aha moment. Somebody needed this understanding that they needed tragedy to strike, or they needed to look back and say, I'm 40 years old and wow, I wish I would have done this when I was younger. But for me, my aha moment at that time was the realization that I didn't necessarily need to wait. I didn't need an aha moment. So I wanted to take control of my life as early as possible. And I think that's why it wasn't really about the number of the age that I was at. It was more just like, okay, I'm hearing all of these stories. Why don't I just do this now rather than wait? Because I feel like I already figured out what I'm supposed to be doing.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I guess I consider it that it was a good lesson and lucky. I watched my mother went back when I was in high school. She went back to school and she got her master's degree and very accomplished. She had very high level positions, but hated what she was doing. She would constantly have these arguments about, you know, her attitude was you work a job, you go to work, you do what they tell you, get your paycheck and you get your 2 weeks vacation and you do that until you retire. And I said, no, that's not how I can't do that. You know, I know from my own experience and in some of the things I've read that you've written, you sort of allude to this as well. If you're working at something that you don't like, it messes up everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just not worth it.
I believe in this work-life, not a work-life balance, but more so a work-life feedback loop, right? And you hear the expression a lot, the person who you are in the outside world is who you're going to bring to work, right? If you're leading a team and you come in with pessimism and negativity, the rest of the team is going to feed off that energy.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then that seeps into your personal life.
Yeah, 100%.
All of your relationships are infected with that.
Yeah. Yep, and it goes on and on and on. Yep.
Yeah, and I think when I was a manager in corporate, you know, when I was going through some really rough times in my personal life, I felt like I was doing a very good job of compartmentalizing everything, but people, especially people who are intuitive, in tune, you know, you can't hide certain things. So yeah, it definitely does affect things.
Right.
So Jordan, what is Cloud Nine Living and how did that come about?
Yeah. So Cloud Nine Living came about from my divine breadcrumb moment. So I don't know if you're going to formally ask me that or not, but this was a story that it was the light bulb aha moment. It's funny, you know, when I left my corporate job, I didn't have one of these divine breadcrumbs. So if we would have had this conversation last year, I would have said what I mentioned before, that my aha moment was the realization I didn't need an aha moment. But with this new Cloud Nine Living concept, there is this beautiful alignment of the stars that occurred in November 2018. And the story goes like this. It was, I think, the weekend after Thanksgiving. And it was honestly a very introspective weekend. And an acquaintance had just passed away. And I had just finished reading Mitch Albom's sequel to The Five People You Meet in Heaven, The Next Person You Meet in Heaven. So I was just thinking very deeply. And it was a Sunday afternoon. And usually, you know, hanging out with the guys and watching football and talking about nonsensical guy stuff. But rather, because of the events of the weekend, we actually had really deep and meaningful and powerful conversations about life and love and death and happiness. So basically the day ended and I was in the Lower East Side of New York City and I live in Midtown. So I took an Uber home and I'm driving along the East River. And I pass a boat and I'm usually the person who wants to talk to the Uber driver and get him or her away from that mundane norm of just sitting and driving people around and not having conversations. I'm the one who wants to talk and change their day a little bit. But today it was actually, on that day, it was one of those days where I just wanted to let the thoughts simmer in my mind. I didn't really feel like talking more until I saw this boat in the East River. And I saw that the boat was called Cloud Nine. And I thought, wow, that is a pretty cool name for a boat. So I said, hey, you see that boat over there? It's called Cloud Nine. Like, isn't that pretty cool? And the Uber driver's like, yeah, I love that name. That's great. So I just said, what does that mean to you? And his answers blew me away. And he started telling me about the day that he got married. He started telling me about the day that he had his children. He told me about some of his favorite childhood memories where he had this uninterrupted sense of playfulness. He told me about the day when he left his home country to come to America. He told me about the day he made enough money to go back to his home country. And as these stories started to weave one into the next, I realized, wow, there are these momentous life occasions that we all can have or can look forward to having that can shape a Cloud Nine style of living, a euphoric style of living. So when that occurred, it was like nothing that had ever happened to me before. And you know the concept of flow and positive psychology?
Yeah.
I love positive psychology and I knew exactly what it was. I just never really felt like I was in a state of flow. I kind of thought it was a little bit of a nonsense idea. But after this encounter, I promise you, I sat down at a computer and I outlined a book, The Journey to Cloud Nine. And you know the expression, like, if you're really doing something, you forget to eat. I never thought I would forget to eat. I love food so much, but I totally forgot to eat. And for the next 4.5-5 weeks, I wrote the entire manuscript first draft for The Journey to Cloud Nine. So it started out as a fiction book, but in writing this book, I had conversations every day with people about what Cloud Nine meant to them. And the more I would hear stories, the more I would realize that Cloud Nine to everybody means something different. And also, Cloud Nine is not always this monumental life event that only happens once in our lifetimes. You can have Cloud Nine moments every single day. So a Cloud Nine moment for some people was, oh, I felt like I was on Cloud Nine yesterday when my family and I sat down at dinner and we had a wonderful meal. So this is what I started to realize. And I wanted to relate to other people and create something out of this that said, hey, you're not just looking at a Cloud Nine life in the grand scheme of things, but you're also trying to at least have one moment of Cloud Nine euphoria every single day. Because you need something to look forward to. You need that moment of daily happiness. And that's what Cloud Nine Living has become all about.
Awesome. You know, obviously the book isn't out yet, but can you share like a little tidbit or sneak peek of what we could be expecting?
I would love to. So the book is 6 months away, but the book is fiction. And I'll briefly explain why it's fiction. So last year you mentioned I wrote Getting Comfy, Your Morning Guide to Daily Happiness. And that was a pretty traditional self-help book. It was very anecdotal. It basically just spoke about my own life. And it was a way for me to say, hey, here's what's been working for me. I hope it works for you, right? Mm-hmm. And in talking to people about what I was doing last year, some of the pushback I got from people was that they didn't like self-help because it felt very authoritative. And they didn't want to be told what to do by anybody. And the more I thought about that, the more I wanted to speak a different language to these people and say, okay, I want to write something that is totally personal growth and development related, where these are principles I believe you should live throughout your life and that other people believe you should live by throughout your life. But I want to leave it up for interpretation. So that's why I wanted to create a fictional self-help book, because people can get just totally invested in the characters and realize maybe they see a little bit of themselves in the characters. And through those stories that I'll be telling throughout the book, I want people to say, hey, maybe I need some of that in my life, or oh no, 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 that part's not for me. I don't need that. So it's really just speaking a different language to people who are involved in this type of growth mindset world. So that's the brief background on why the book is the way that it is. And then a little sneak preview into the book is the protagonist is a guy named Jerry, and he's in the later years of his life, and he's depressed and he's isolated and he's alone. And what the book does is it walks you through Jerry's life, and it shows you these 9 different experiences that he had in his real life where he made decisions based off of societal expectations and what other people around him wanted him to do. And ultimately, you've seen that these decisions have led him to where he currently is. But what the book also does is it juxtaposes that life with Jerry's Cloud 9 life, where he's able to relive each of those scenarios and figure out what his life could have looked like had he made the choices based on his heart and his intuition and his gut. So that's the Cloud 9 life. And it's because for me, the interpretation of Cloud 9 for me is living life according to your own plan and telling your own story, as opposed to the story that you think you're supposed to be living based off of society and other people. So each chapter is a different cloud, and that's why it's the journey to Cloud 9. So he travels from Cloud 1 and learns a lesson there, Cloud 2, Cloud 3, all the way up to Cloud 9. And you basically walk through this man's life and are able to see the different choices that he made that led him to where he was and the choices he could have made that could lead him to where he wants to be.
Oh, I love that. what I think is so great about what you're doing, because I think you're so right. There's a lot of people who are very resistant to any type of self-help. So they're, by reading this book, they can still get the lessons, but they're more palatable as they're being told through this fictional story. I love that.
Exactly.
It actually reminds me a little bit, not your plot line, but the approach of one of my favorite books, which was Illusions by Richard Bach.
I haven't heard of it. Tell me more.
It is similar in that style. And basically it's the main character is named Richard. And he does not present it as though it is fiction. He presents it if it is autobiographical, that he's a barnstormer. In other words, flies from town to town selling rides in his biplane. And he meets the Messiah. And they travel together and he learns lessons from the Messiah this summer.
Yeah.
And the subtitle of the book is Illusions, the Journey of a Reluctant Messiah.
Wow.
I make a habit of reading it at least once a year.
Amazing.
I read it for the first time when I was 16. Mm-hmm. And I still think it's an amazing book.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. That's wonderful. It's very cool. Yeah. Very similar concept of.
Get a chance. Out. It's a very quick read. You can read the whole book in like an hour.
Oh, cool. I love those kind of reads. And that's what the journey to Cloud 9 is too. Like I said in that first story, my favorite author is Mitch Albom. So a very digestible, almost a very movie-like plot-driven story is what the journey to Cloud 9 is going to be like. But the really cool part too is that I use the stories from my Uber driver, the stories from the people who I've been talking to about their Cloud 9 moments throughout the book, in order to have sort of like this, okay, I've done my research so I can speak to the language of people who want a research-based approach, but also I've created a story out of it to people who want more of the storytelling side.
Yeah, that's great. So speaking, you had mentioned your favorite author, it kind of reads like a movie.
Yeah.
So let's say the book gets made into a movie.
Yeah, let's say that.
Yeah, let's say it. Let's put it out there into the universe. Who would you want to be in this movie?
Oh my goodness. I love that question. And there's a funny story with this. So when I was describing and characterizing Jerry, the protagonist, do you guys watch the show This Is Us?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Okay. Amazing. Do you know the doctor?
Yes.
Yes. So his name is Gerald McRaney.
Yep.
And that is, I looked at a picture of Gerald McRaney as I described what Jerry looked like.
Oh, that's perfect.
It's so funny because I was thinking about this beforehand and I'd already named the main character Jerry. And when I looked up that this man's name was Gerald McRaney, I was like, that is a weird coincidence. Like, I don't know if he goes by Gerald McRaney, but that is Jerry. It could be a nickname for Gerald. And there have just been so many different strange coincidences that have occurred throughout writing this book. It's like, been meant to be. It's very strange.
And we know there's no coincidences. So it is meant to be.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the only person who I've got a real stamp on who I want that to be. And then I didn't really think about celebrities. I thought more about people who I've come across in my own life who could be some of the other characters, and there are bits of pieces of those people in all the other characters too.
How exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
So were you self-publishing this?
No,
as well?
So I self-published the first book, and now I wanted to like go another step. So this is going to be boutique publishing. So I'm working with a company called Capuchia Publishing.
Great.
Where right now I just started, so that's why it's 6 months from now where it will be released, and just working through the editing process now. So I've got to get my own edits in the next couple of weeks, and then start going back and forth with the editing team, and then work on a marketing strategy all the while. And that's why I'm doing this right now, talking to you guys, because I want awareness for Cloud9 before the book, you know, the book, which is this ultimate light at the end of the tunnel, comes out. Because what I did with Getting Comfy was I came out with the book, and then I said, oh, I should probably market this thing. So I wanted to do the reverse this time.
That's a great idea. Well, I hope we can get an autographed copy before,
please,
and we can say we knew you when.
Yes, of course. 100%.
That's very exciting. And I'm sure there's a whole separate podcast we can do with you later.
Yes.
I hope so.
I know that you also do coaching.
Yes.
So can you tell a little about Cloud9 coaching and how you're impacting people's lives with that?
Yeah, totally. So Cloud9 coaching comes from my own journey to Cloud9 and how I have been on this arduous, tedious process of figuring out what I want to do with my life, and how I have been a multi-potentialite, which means basically I've had a lot of interests and I haven't been afraid to dive into a lot of different interests, and how exploring my curiosity and really learning both through what I love and what I actually do not love has led me to where I ultimately want to be. So Cloud9 coaching is all about discovering your purpose ultimately. And I believe, even as this kind of coach, that it is the most difficult thing in the world you can do. And I don't even ever know if you will be 100% right. But what I wanted to do was at least provide a framework for people who are nowhere near the mark. So basically with Cloud9 coaching, it's a couple step process where first and foremost, you have to get really aware of who you are as a person. So there's a lot of deep inner work, so coming from within. And then the second part is actually going out and doing some experiential learning and understanding what types of experiences that you're going to enjoy. The third part is still experiential learning, but it's actually deliberately trying to fail. It's this error phase where you do things that you don't necessarily enjoy, but you try to take away the key components of it that you did like. And then the fourth part is a little bit more related to my business background. So I got certified in Marshall Goldsmith's stakeholder-centered coaching, which is a type of executive leadership coaching where the leader basically focuses all of their efforts based on the feedback of some of their key stakeholders. So their direct reports, their colleagues, their mentors. And that's what I wanted to do with Finding Your Purpose, because I believe that sometimes some of our greatest strengths may be right in front of our face, but we think it's innate within us. So sometimes we have to talk to our friends, our families, our colleagues in order to understand, hey, what are my greatest accomplishments? What do you think I'm the best at? What do I love the most? So it takes that people-driven approach as well. And then once you've done those four things, it's kind of time to at least start testing the waters and getting into where you want to ultimately go.
That's great. Wow. One of my good friends from high school has worked with Marshall Goldsmith, Alyssa Cohen. She's actually based in New York City as well.
I think I've reached out to her before, actually.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
Great. So switching gears a little bit,
Please.
You have a fascinating article. I saw it on LinkedIn where you asked 6 homeless people, what is the happiest part of your day?
Yeah.
That article was just, it kind of blew me away. So would you tell our listeners a little bit about that experience? Because a lot of them are not on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for reading. And this was probably, for me, one of the most powerful articles as well. And I've always been the kind of kid my dad likes to joke with me where, so I lived on Long Island growing up, and we'd come to New York City and I would see all the homeless people on the street, and I would ask him every single time to give them some sort of money, right? So he always jokes that we didn't go to the city as much as we probably could because he was going to go bankrupt. So that was the kind of person I always was growing up, and I have this insanely soft spot for these people. So the article came not from the idea to talk to homeless people. It actually came from the idea to study happiness and just ask people, hey, what's the happiest part of your day? And it's almost like, what's your cloud nine moment? But this was, you know, maybe a year ago I did this. And I thought, always trying to think a little bit differently than other people. So rather than asking random test subjects, I thought, in order to understand the happiest points of people's days, why don't I ask people who are seemingly the unhappiest people in society, right? So I decided that a good way to do this would be to ask homeless people. And these are people who society wouldn't expect to even have happy moments throughout their days because it's not what we think of when we think about happiness. So I wanted to go out and ask some people, and I live in New York City, so unfortunately there is a large population of homeless people. So this didn't even take that long, and I just walked around my neighborhood, and I had conversations with them. And, you know, some of them I couldn't really talk about in the story itself because they didn't go too well, but some of the conversations were amazing. And the ultimate message was that each time I would talk to somebody and dig a little bit deeper and ask more questions and figure out their backgrounds, I would ultimately get this notion from them that this was going to be the happiest part of their day. It was a deviation from their normal day-to-day lives where people are walking by them, ignoring them, and not making them feel human. So the message at the end of the day was very simple. It was that in order to have the happiest moments, especially for these homeless people, it's to just treat people as human and have that understanding and take that second to step back and say, wow, I appreciate all of these human components of the life that I'm currently living, these interactions, these conversations that we have. So that's what I ultimately learned from talking to these people.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really powerful.
I bet.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
One of my favorites.
So I read your first book.
Wow, thank you so much.
Getting Comfy, Your Morning Guide to Daily Happiness. I thought it was very well written. I thought it was a very sound practice. Mm-hmm. You sort of in a nutshell explain to our listeners what getting comfy means, and are you still living that practice?
Yeah. So I always like to have a little bit of fun with this. So let's do a quick, we'll do a couple. Okay. Us three, we'll do a quick comfy routine. So the first, it's an acronym. COMFY is an acronym, and we'll do C. Okay. So on the count of three, we're just going to take a deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. All right. Ready? 1, 2, 3. All right. So we just did our C for our routine. And C stands for calm. So very specifically, getting comfy is a morning routine to help you overcome the startled feeling we all get when that alarm clock wakes up, when that alarm clock goes off. So calm is a great way to approach the day with our minds at ease. So with calm, you can do something like we just did, which is deep breathing, but you can also do meditation. You can also do yoga. You can also wash the dishes. You can also go for a walk, anything that is sort of mindless, but allows you to just ease yourself into the rest of the day. And the other thing I'll make mention of with comfy overall is that they're recommendations, right? So even with this first book, I wanted to deviate a little bit from that authoritative self-help, this is what you have to do type of style, where COMFY, they're all buckets for you to figure out. So calm is the first bucket. And then we'll move on to O. So O stands, So how about Deb? Tell me something that you're afraid of.
Heights.
Okay. And Carol, tell me something that you accomplished yesterday.
Oh, gosh. You're challenging me. What the heck did I do yesterday? Oh, I was working on my own personal mission statement.
Nice. Okay, amazing. So what you two did there was openness, right? And there are a couple of different ways to be open. And the first is by being open with other people. So you can either write a text message, you can send a message on LinkedIn, on Instagram, Facebook, whatever it is. You can call somebody up. You can say to your partner in the morning, hey, I appreciate you, or I'm grateful for you. And you're just opening up as the beginning part of your day. But then there's also this form of self-openness, which is much more popular, and that's through the form of journaling. So something that you two just did are two questions that I like to ask myself in the morning of what am I afraid of and what are some of my biggest accomplishments? So I get that down in the morning and I put it in my journal and I write down a couple gratitudes, some expectations for the day, some reflections on the day prior. And this is just a way for me to get things out of my mind and out into the world, because keeping things in our mind bottled up is how stress and anxiety grows. So that's what we want to do in order to diminish that stress and anxiety. So then M, I won't make you guys do anything here, but M stands for movement. And that's a really popular one. It's just, at this point in my life, it's just about getting my brain going, really. It's not for the physicality component or anything like that. It's just when I go for a walk or run or a weightlifting session in the morning, my day is totally changed.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
And then, so F is actually my favorite one. And it's really, you know, part of everything that I'm doing because it's all about positivity and smiling. And F stands for funny. When we wake up in the morning, I think there's a statistic, something around 60% of the first media that the majority of the world consumes is the news. And we turn on CNN and immediately we are met with stories of tragedy and devastation. What I propose for this F funny part in the morning is to turn on a PNN, a positive news network, where you are basically surrounding yourself with smiles and laughter and stories of soldiers coming home from war or funny babies crying or funny animals, right? It's just a way so that, yes, there are serious things that are occurring in life, but the best way for us as individuals to respond to those serious things rather than be impulsive and react to them is by not taking ourselves too seriously. So this is why before anything that's stress or anxiety inducing, I love to laugh.
I actually have an audio clip of Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if he giggles.
Yeah.
Like he's like a little kid. Like when I'm super stressed out, I just, and you can't not giggle. Yep. When you giggle.
Yeah, laughter is contagious. It's so true. Mm-hmm.
And I think what you said is important. And that, you know, I went on a news diet a long time ago. And, you know, Deb and I talk about this often because so many people will say, well, you know, how can you not watch the news? How do you know what's going on? Don't stick your head in the sand. And, you know, I look at it as a very conscious decision.
Yeah.
To put my attention elsewhere. So, yeah. And I kind of have a live video going here every day. I have 2 cats who are insane. So I get plenty of laughs in the morning.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And it's funny, the thing about the news too, and going on a news diet and people who say like, why aren't you informed about the world? Well, I actually say that later on in the day, why not ask somebody about the news and put yourself in a position of learner? It takes a lot of humility and courage to admit to somebody, hey, I don't know what's going on in the world right now, but why don't you tell me about it?
Oh, that's a great way to reframe.
Yeah.
I mean, what I tell people too is, even though I don't watch the news, I, for the most part, I still know what's going on because you just can't help but get bombarded in different areas, whether, you know, you're going through social media or whatever, but I love that.
Yeah. And also, by the way, this is by no means saying don't be aware of what's going on in the world. I'm just saying don't do it before something that is stress or anxiety inducing and don't do it first thing in the morning.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So then finally, why stands for you or your passion or your choice. And it's this last thing that we're doing that is something that we want to do rather than have to do before approaching that have to do thing. So it could be singing, dancing, writing, reading, just anything that really is yours in the morning or before a big speech or before a podcast interview. That's the last bit of it. And then with those five components, hopefully you're feeling good. You're feeling comfy, confident in your own skin. And then you're ready to do that thing that is seemingly outside of your comfy zone.
I love it. That's great. That's great. Well, been so much good stuff. But before we wrap up, maybe, you know, what's one piece of advice you can share with our listeners to live a cloud nine life?
So one of my mantras is that I fear the what if more than I actually fear the what. Right? So it comes back to the story of Jerry in the journey to cloud nine. I believe that it is so much more detrimental to live a life where in the back of your mind, you're saying, what if I would have done this? What if I would have done that? What if I would have done this? I think when you actually do the thing, it's way less scary than you actually think it's going to be. So another one of my favorite phrases is that my biggest fear is that on my last day on this earth, the person who I became will meet that the person will meet the person I could have become. So just to think about the discrepancies that there could be, I would so much rather make that person be the same, right? And the person who I could have become is the person who I became because I made the decisions that I wanted to make, logically, of course, but that were based off of having a sense of fulfillment and purpose. So that's what I would say is be more afraid of that voice in the back of your head saying, what if, than you actually are of going out and doing the thing.
Great, great advice. Oh my gosh. We could talk to you all day.
Same.
This has been so fun. Thank you so much for sharing your time, your story, and just wishing you so much success when the book comes out. I have no doubt people are going to love it.
Well, thank you both so much as well. This was really wonderful. And I hope the listeners got something out of it. I hope you guys got something out of it. And I hope to chat again.
Absolutely. And Jordan, how can our listeners find you? How can they stay on top of information about the book or contact you if they want to?
Absolutely. So I'll keep it really simple. It's just journeytocloud9.com. And that's all spelled out, journeytocloudnine.com. You can find out everything about what we talked about, the Cloud Nine moments, their 90-second videos. I do 9-question Cloud Nine interviews where people help others explain what Cloud Nine looks like to them. There's a little bit about the coaching. There's a little bit about the book. And then there's obviously my story and my contact information. And I respond to everything, text messages, LinkedIn messages, emails. So please reach out. I would love to chat. And then the last thing I will ask is if you do want a daily dose of happiness, throw your email in there. And every Tuesday and Thursday, you get one of these 90-second Cloud Nine moment videos of a different type of person explaining basically the happiest that they've ever felt in their lives. So yeah. journeytocloud9.com. And please, 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 like I said, reach out. I would love to chat.
Terrific. Well, we'll put your contact information in the show
awesome.
Notes. So thank you again. This was just such a pleasure. I knew as soon as I started reading the Comfy book that we were going to have a great conversation.
Well, thank you guys so much. Really, I can't explain how appreciative I am.
So everybody, we're glad you could join us today. As always, the show is available on our website, thedivinebreadcrumb.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. If you like what we're doing, please share it with your friends, rate the show for us, or give us a review if you feel so inclined. Again, Jordan, thank you so much. I can't wait to read the book. And we'll have to have you back after it comes out so we can hear about the rest of the story.
That would be amazing. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks
for listening.
Bye-bye.